Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly those who are visiting with us this morning. We're happy that you're here. If you are visiting, just to be clear, I'm not the regular preacher, so please don't judge your visit based on this morning's sermon. Our preacher is just really sick this morning, and we encourage you to come back at another opportunity that you have to come and to be with us and to hear from him. If you look at 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." From the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, oftentimes we think about the Bible as being complex. Sometimes the world says, "Well, it contradicts itself. There's too many books. I don't understand it. I can't apply it to my life." And we know that really the message of Christ is a pretty simple message. You know, those that Christ spoke to and the disciples spoke to in the first century, when you think about the education level, these were not highly educated people. Not everybody was going to university and everyone had. It was a very agricultural type of a society. These were just hardworking, good people. And that's why Christ taught in parables. That's why he made things simple. And this morning, I'd like for us to consider a simple message. As Tom read our text this morning in Proverbs 6:6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise." When was the last time you ever sat down and just thought about an ant? You know, as kids sometimes, I can remember, particularly almost being an only child, having to entertain myself quite frequently. Sometimes ants were pretty entertaining for me. I'd go out the front door, go in the driveway and look for a crack and see a little ant mound, and I'd watch them and study them and kind of look at them, but I can't say that I've done that a lot as an adult. But we were around them. You walk past them. Sometimes you step on them or step in them every day. And so this morning, I want us to think about what are the things that we can learn from an ant. When you think about Proverbs 6:6, and it says, "Consider her ways and be wise." What can we learn from an ant? The first thing I would suggest is that the ant is never idle. It's not often that you just go out and walk out the front door and you look and you see an ant and it's just sitting there. If it is, it's probably dead. Ants are always on the move. They're not idle. And as Proverbs 6:6 says, it says, "Go to the ant." And who is the proverb writer addressing? "Thou sluggard." What is a sluggard? It's a person who is habitually lazy, someone who's idle, someone who just can't get moving. Because an ant is always moving. An ant is always busy. In Proverbs 13:4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Do you know people who are always desiring? People who are big dreamers? You know, every family has them. You might be one. And there's nothing wrong with dreaming, but there's another piece to dreaming, right? If you're going to dream big, you have to act big. But there's a lot of people who they desire, and they think, but they never act. But that's not what we learn from the ant. In Proverbs 20 and verse 4, it says, "The sluggard shall not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." You know, particularly with all of the rain, sometimes it's in the winter. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. Right? The alarm goes off and you think, you've got to be kidding me. And you just want to roll over and just give it another couple of hours. But we know that there's times where if your livelihood depends on the farm, if your livelihood depends on getting out and creating your own food, you can't just roll over on those cold mornings. You have to go and you have to get out and you have to work, or you'll have nothing when the harvest comes. Jesus expects the same from us, right? Good things come to us. There's grace that comes. There's mercy that comes. But we're expected to work, as we're told in Matthew 10:38. Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is what? He's not worthy of me." In Matthew 9:37 and 38, he said to his disciples that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. You know, we look at the church and sometimes we know there's a lot of work to do, but there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. I don't have enough time. I'm too tired. I did something last week. I just got done doing something. I don't feel that great. Somebody else needs something. There's always an excuse, but we need to have laborers. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." In John 4:36, it says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he and the sower and he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Those who work receive wages. And we need to remember that, and that's a lesson that we can clearly learn from the ant. And we don't just work alone. Finally, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we know that we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Sometimes we think we're all alone. You know, sometimes it's easier to work when you know someone else is going to meet you, or if you're going to work out or do something you don't like. Sometimes it's easier when you know you're not all alone and you don't have to do it by yourself. But we need to remember that even when we might feel like or we are by ourselves here, we're never by ourselves when you're doing God's work, because you are a laborer together with God. The second thing that we can learn from the ant is the ant's always working towards a goal. It might seem sometimes like chaos, but they have a pattern, right? They have a mission. They all have a role. Proverbs 30, verses 24 and 25, it says, There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The ants know what they need to do, right? They're on search for food most of the time. They're either going for food or water, or they're getting food or water, or they're building. They all know what they're supposed to do. And on casual look, they all look the same to me. But they all have different roles, actually. There's different types of ants. Who knew? Right? There's soldier ants. There's a queen. There's worker ants, just like bees, right? They have different roles. And we have different roles. Sometimes you like your role. Sometimes you don't like your role. It's like, well, I didn't want to be born a soldier ant. I wanted to be a worker ant. Or I wanted to be the queen. Or I wanted to be... Well, we don't always get to pick the type of ant that we are. But they all have a role, and they work together towards that goal. You know, we need to be careful that we're not just really busy, but not productive. Ants have a goal, they're productive. In 2 Timothy 3:7, it warns us that we can be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Right? We can be around the Bible, we can kind of read the Bible, but we don't ever put it together. We don't ever put it to use. We don't put it into action. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know that Paul said in Philippians 3:14 that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Right? He had a mark. It was easy if you're Paul with all of the persecution and things that he suffered to get off track. But just like ants have a goal and they know what their role is, Paul learned over time what his role was and was to be in the Lord's church, and he stayed focused on that race. And if you do that, we're reminded in Romans 8:28 that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We have a purpose. Are we clear on what our purpose is? Do we know what our role is? Do we know what our talents are? Are we using those talents? We want to be able to say, like was said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, where Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Right? That great gift wasn't just for Paul, but it was for all of those who stay focused on the Lord. The third thing we can learn from the ant is the ant works hard without calling attention to itself. You know, it's amazing how many times you're out in the yard or you're somewhere and there are thousands of ants and you don't even know it. Sometimes until you're standing in them, depending on the type of ant, and then you do know it. But they can be all around you. They don't have trumpets. They don't fly. They don't chirp. Some ants fly, but they don't chirp, right? They're quiet. They get on with their work. And they work hard. And that's a lesson for us, is that the work that we're to do isn't to be seen by others. That's not the purpose. Sometimes our work will be seen by others, but it's not the purpose. We know that the Lord, when he preached in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, he said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that your alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have closed the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. Right? Our relationship is with God. Our relationship is to serve him. We are about his purpose. And we're not here to be seen of others. We know that we're to be an example. We know that we're to have an impact. But our motivation isn't driven by man. Our motivation is driven by God. We're also reminded in Matthew 6, as he went down further in his sermon, he says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a lot of good works that are done by the church. And we're not to do those for the glory of men. We're not to call attention to those works. God knows the things that we're doing. The fourth thing we can learn from the ant is that the ant works well with others. It's part of a team. Right? One ant, while powerful, one ant doesn't get a lot done all by themselves. They depend on all of the ants that are in their colony. Philippians 3:16 says, reminds us, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. As Christians, we're to walk together. If we're walking with the Lord, and we're all walking with the Lord, then we should be walking with each other. We don't need to have a different standard. We don't have to have a different measurement for everything. We should be walking by the same rule, by the same standard. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And in Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Unity, togetherness. In things of truth, we are to be unified, one mind, one love. We're to work together. We're to support one another and encourage one another to good works as the ants work well together. A fifth thing we can learn from the ant is that its home or its foundation is not easily destroyed. You know, I remember as a kid, I used to love cutting the grass, again, because I was pretty bored. I was almost an only child. And I love cutting the grass, and my dad let me ride the tractor, and I remember running out, and occasionally, right, there's an ant hill out there in the yard. And you hit that ant hill with the lawnmower, and you think it's over. I mean, it's over. I just blew those all over. And it's amazing, in a couple hours you come back, it's a little shorter, but it almost looks like you never touched the thing. And while I would have thought that would have been pretty devastating, we know that it's not that easy to get rid of ants, particularly in the yard. You have to take some pretty drastic action. Their foundation is not easily moved or easily destroyed. In Matthew 7, we're reminded that as Christians, we should be the same way in verses 24 through 27. It says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which his house is built upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and what? It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Ephesians 2 and verse 19, we're told, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We are built upon the doctrine that was given to us by the apostles in the prophets, in the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ, as we read and learn about in Ephesians and other books, in whom all the building fitly framed together unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Just like the ant, if we're built in the right place, if we're built on what God has taught us, if we're built on the cornerstone of Jesus, we will not be easily moved. Another thing that we learn from the ant is that it seeks meat. You'll see him eventually carrying a leaf, but I'll tell you, if you throw a cricket down there, they're all over that cricket. right? They get excited about meat. They know that they need it to survive. They know that it's more valuable than a leaf that might fall on the ground. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow. Right? There is a time for milk. There's a time when meat isn't appropriate. But as we grow, and as we walk on our journey, we should also seek meat. We shouldn't be going back and always looking for the milk. In Hebrews 5, in verse 12, it says, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're all in this walk together. There are all things that we understand and other things that we don't understand. There are all of us, we're at different levels of maturity, and that's the beauty of the church. But we all need to keep moving on our journey. We can't just sit down. We can't say, this milk is pretty good, and I'm just going to sit here, and I'll cheer the rest of you on. We all need to do our part and seek the meat that God would have us to have. We also know that the ant shares with others. It's rare that they take that meat like a lion or something else and just carry it up into a tree and eat it all for itself. The ant takes it back to share with all of the others because they know that it brings value beyond themselves. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're not supposed to hoard the Word of God. We're not supposed to take it and run it up into a tree and hide it, but we're supposed to share it with others. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In Titus 2, in verse 3, it says, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. There are some difficult lessons in life. All of us who have a few decades on us, we've been through some difficult things. We've learned some things the hard way. Why would we hold on to that and not share that with others? Why would we not help others or give them the opportunity to avoid some of those pitfalls? Let's not hoard the wisdom that we have through life, but let us share. You'd think I did a doctorate on ants, but I got a couple more and then we're done. The seventh thing that you can learn from an ant is that the ant is equipped with an armor-like shell. They're tough, right? If I took an ant and pushed it off this podium right here, that's a long way for an ant. That is a long way. That's probably like a 100-story building for us. I would venture to say if you pushed 10 ants gently off the edge here, 10 of them would walk away. There aren't any of us that are walking away from a 100-story fall. They're tough. They have a tough shell. We're to have an armor ourselves. In Ephesians 6, we're told, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Spiritually, we need to be armed. We need to be tough. We need to know what's coming. In Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Have you ever sifted flour? And you just break it down to its very, very base parts. And that's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to break us down. And you know it can happen. And it can happen to good people. You think about Adam and Eve. They didn't think they were being sifted when they ate the forbidden fruit in Genesis 2. You think about Cain. He didn't think he was being sifted when he killed his brother in Genesis 4. You think about the people in Noah's day when they were involved in all wickedness, the Bible says, in Genesis 6:11. You think about Joseph's brother who were filled with anger and filled with jealousy and hatred towards their brother, and they sold him into slavery in Genesis 37. You think about David, a good man who had Uriah killed in 2 Samuel 11. Think about Job's wife, who was married to a just and upright man, but walked into him in his lowest time and said, "Curse God and die." You think about Nadab and Abihu, who were offering something to God. They didn't realize how sifted they were when they just shifted a bit and offered a strange fire in Leviticus 10. You think about Judas, who was an apostle, who betrayed Christ in Luke 22. And how Satan had sifted him. You think about Pilate, when Pilate didn't stand up and do the right thing and allow Jesus to be crucified. You can think of Paul when he persecuted the church, how zealous he was, how much he thought he was doing the right thing. But the devil had deceived him in Acts 8, verse 3. You can think about Ananias, who turned a good thing into something bad when he sold land and went and offered it up and lied about it to Peter in Acts 5, 1 through 3. We all need to be careful and make sure that we have that armor on, because the devil's tough, and we have to make sure that we have taken that armor. As it says in Ephesians 6, 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And the last point is that the ant is very strong for its size. One ant does make a big difference. You know, sometimes you look at those ants, I always thought it would kind of be cool to have an ant about as big as a dog. Can you imagine having one ant that bad? I mean, that would be one tough animal. Okay, but it'd go out and grab a tree in the front yard and pull it right out of the ground. I mean, if you had a 70-pound ant, ants make a difference. They're tough, right? And they're powerful. And while they need to work together and they need the group, just like we do, one Christian can make a big difference. One Christian, one human being with God, has a big impact. And we're reminded of that in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Then it's not good for anything but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In the last passage, 1 Peter 2, 9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what are the things we learn from an ant? Proverbs 6:6. The ant is never idle. The ant's always working towards a goal. The ant works hard without calling attention to itself. The ant works well with others. It carefully constructs its home. It seeks strong meat. It's equipped with an armor-like shell. And it's very strong. It can make a big difference in its environment. The simplicity of Christ. Let us not be so quickly removed from the simplicity of Christ. It's not that difficult to understand. It's very difficult, impossible to do by yourself, but it's not impossible if you're walking with God. And that's the question that I have for you this morning, is are you walking with God? Are you with him? Do you depend on him? You know, if you're not a Christian, you need to have that relationship with God. You need to walk with him. This world, it's too difficult. All of those people that I listed who thought that the devil wouldn't sift them, they couldn't walk by themselves either. You have to be close to God. And the way that you do that is you need to be baptized into Christ. You need to believe. You need to understand what he wants you to do. You need to have that faithful walk, as we learn about in the Revelation. And sometimes we get off the path. Some of us here may have made that commitment and to walk with him, but maybe we've been off the path, or maybe we're just struggling a bit. And if that's the case, you also, this is an opportunity for you to come forward and to let that be known. We can pray for you, we can encourage you, and you can know that God is committed and the congregation here is committed to loving you and supporting you in your walk. If in any way you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward and let it be known as we stand and sing.
See where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by the low ones' fountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the path. Steps of Jesus, where'er they go, by and by, through the shining portals, turning our feet, we shall walk with the glad immortals, heaven's golden street. Of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus.